This is the last week of the research methods course, and this week we will focus on the ethical aspects that are related to research. We have three viewpoints on research and ethics. First, we will discuss the ethical questions that are related to actually doing of research. So if you're making research interventions that touch some objects, whether it's humans, whether it's something else, what are the ethical questions related to our interventions when we are acting with the environment? How to do it ethically? Then there's the ethics of research community, how to behave ethically with our peers, our colleagues, to be ethical, responsible member of the research community. And the third aspect is the ethics of research outputs, results. So what ethical questions can be asked in relationship to our research results and outcomes. So, first, the ethics or the ethical questions concerning our objects of intervention. So, if you make an intervention in the name of science, what can we do? What can be justified by scientific goals? Can we do anything because of science? Or are there some limits? So, how can we treat humans when doing scientific research? How can we treat living organisms? How can we treat our environment in the name of science? There are some guidelines. First of all, science doesn't override the basic human rights that are, I guess, globally acknowledged. And in Finland, they are constitutionally acknowledged. So every human has certain irrevocable rights, like the right to live, right to personal safety, right to privacy, and so on. And we may have to violate some of these rights for the sake of science, but that is not a straightforward thing. That requires thorough ethical assessment beforehand when we are touching any of the human rights. So if we have to make an experiment that, say, touches the physical integrity of the research object, it has to be done under ethical policies and so on. In Finland, we have a national board on research integrity. In Finnish, we call it TENK for short, from the Finnish name. And it gives, among others, guidelines for ethical review for research to be done on humans. So if your research touches humans, whether you make an intervention on humans or whether you just observe humans, then these guidelines apply. There's a separate legislation for medical research that is not covered. So if you do medical research on humans, then there are different guidelines, different bodies, act, but we are not doing medical research here. So This national park and research integrity is currently working on creating national guidelines also for research that involves nature and environment. So going beyond research that directly targets humans as individuals. We will not elaborate that topic more within this course, so there's no material that should be read and worked on during this course. But if you will need any of this material, you should look at the instructions of our own Human Science Ethics Committee. For example, if you intervene with humans and you, for example, violate the principle of informed consent, for example, if you are asking, maybe, for example, asking a survey for a certain goal, and you want to deduce something else from that survey that will be hidden from the respondent. And this is somewhat typical in experiments, especially psychological experiments, where you give a task and you observe something totally different that the respondent is not aware of, to see the natural reactions. Because if you know that you're observed for something, you tend to behave conscious to this knowledge, which is not your natural state. Of course, if you make physical interventions, this is also something that requires ethical assessment. And I would say that physical intervention, the limit is when you have to touch the informant. So it's one thing to give a sports watch to somebody than to glue some sensors on the skin. But this is something that is done very much in the sports department and also in brain research. So you can't do the EEG research without gluing the cap to someone's hair, which is considered an intervention already. When you make intervention on minors, so if you're studying school kids or even small kids, very easily you end up to questions requiring ethical peer review. And of course, if the research imposes strong impulses, the informant, whether they are physical impulses, strong forces, noises, lights, whatever, or mental shocks, this has to be assessed. And of course, if you put the safety at risk, if there's a sort of substantial risk of getting wounded or something like that, then of course this is, or if there's a risk of leaking information, so like you're studying a special group, perhaps it's a diagnosis, already the information that who have been studied may be sensitive and put the informant at risk. So these are the questions that that may result to the need of making ethical review. But okay, this is sort of a sidetrack from today's or this week's materials. So then the ethics within the academic community or the responsible conduct of research. This has been set up by the Finnish National Board on Research Integrity. The guidelines are based on four European principles, and they sort of apply to you also because university has decided to conform to these guidelines. So every student, as a member of our university's academic community, should obey to these principles. So be reliable, honest, respectful, and accountable to the scientific. The sort of science commit what is the scientific community. So this gives guidelines for individual researcher to do the actual research and for research organizations to deal with the violation of the guidelines. So, for example, fraud and plagiarism and so on. And that's why it covers both researcher and research organization point of view. So it's, in some sense, for a master's student, it's an overkill as a document. So there are some parts that you can skip, that you should read the guidelines. And your individual task for this week is to look at the Master of Science thesis from the perspective of research integrity, from the perspective of this guideline. And this replaces the weekly method review. And now I want you to remember that this responsible conduct of research, it's not an elective research method. It's something that you should conform always, but it is not a research method as such. It's basically a framework within which you have to implement the research method of your choice. So don't send me answers where you discuss on which topics you might elect to obey these guidelines and when not. Because you should conform to these guidelines in any thesis, any topic, period. The guidelines are written for researcher who is planning research, who is performing research. It's not written as a checklist for an ex post assessment. So when you will be reading the master thesis with these guidelines, only part of the guidelines will be relevant. Only part of the guidelines can be assessed from outside without knowing what has been done. So don't worry too much if you can't assess certain guideline from the thesis. You simply can't, and that's it. What you might learn from this kind of cases is how to write your thesis so that an external reader can sort of ascertain him or herself that you have followed the good practices, also in places where it's not automatically visible. So this often needs only very small documentation where you mention certain things, perhaps attaching some attachments and so on. So there are things that are clear to you, but they will not be transparent to the reader unless you mention them explicitly. You can select the thesis that you think is relevant. For example, if you have an idea on which type of method you are going to use in your master thesis, what kind of approach you're using, a thesis with similar approach might be a good read from this perspective to see what can be seen from the master thesis, what can not be seen from the master thesis, what should be documented. And of course, if there's a clear focus on humans as research objects, there are many, many more questions that emerge to be reported in this assessment. It's quite okay to return to a thesis that you have already read during the previous weeks, because now the viewpoint is completely different. So if you had a nice thesis that you want to return and read it from research integrity point of view, feel free to do so. It's quite okay. And then the last point of view is the ethics of research artifacts, research outputs. So what ethical questions are related to our own research? So we are making research that creates new reality. It changes our world. What does it imply? What ethical questions arise from this? If you make a new artifact which behaves in a certain way, are there ethical questions related to this behavior? Is our artifact imposing some values? Who is choosing the values? What values are in question? Who is choosing them? Who is choosing within these values? Are we aware of the values that we are imposing? And who is responsible for the output or the outcome? There are four articles. The common one is related to AI applications, because now many companies are building AI applications. Are the developers aware of the ethical questions? Do they think about ethical questions during the development process? That has been studied by a team at our university. So that gives you sort of checklist of ethical questions that might be relevant to the thesis that you will be working on. Maybe not all of them, but some. Then there are questions related to data protection, privacy. So how ethical is the use of data in different applications? Questions related to algorithms making value statements, hiding value statements. So algorithm deciding what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, and whether we are aware of that, whether we should be responsible on that, and so on. And who has the responsibility for systems that learn autonomously, behave autonomously, so who is liable for what? So I hope this will trigger a nice discussion in the group, and you can finish this course with a nice discussion.